So, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you be with us, that you encourage us, that you strengthen us. I pray for our friends that are on vacation, Father, that you would just bless it, that you would just pour out rest and peace abundantly upon them, and that you would bring them safely back. Father, I pray that every word I speak that is of you today, it would pierce our hearts, but as if it's not of you, that it would go on the floor, fall on the floor before us. Lord, help us to put on Brian hats and to get into the word, to study it and to know it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Okay. We were made in their image for relationships, part two. Part one was last week. If you didn't hear it, I'd encourage you to do that. It's on the website. So last week we talked about, as we've been going along here, talking about relationships that, if you haven't figured it out, I believe that relationships is the cornerstone of Christianity. That you can look at everything from Genesis 1:1 all the way through the end of Revelations 21:22, and you can see that everything's about relationships. Even as we looked at the Ten Commandments several weeks ago, it's about relationships. It's about who God really is and who really and he isn't. You ever think about some of the things you've heard about God and some of the things that people think he is? And the truth of the matter is he's not. He's really not a hard taskmaster. He's not a disciplinarian. He doesn't demand perfection. If he demanded perfection, Jesus would have never gone to the cross, because he knew we couldn't do perfection. He's not one who really doesn't nurture. He nurtures us. Even in those moments when, and we've all experienced them, where you're sitting before the Lord and you're going, where are you at? He's still nurturing us. He's still there. He's still with us. He's not just an old man with a white beard, and he's not always around when we need him, and we understand that. But he is always around when we need him, and we understand that. Think about that. He's not a personal butler. He does care about our happiness, contrary to some of the things that we've heard. And he's not someone that just looks a little bit like Santa Claus, or he's someone who overlooks all sin. Like, if, you know, how many of you have heard, if God really was a God of love, he would. And it's usually something that he wouldn't do. But who is this God? Well, you can spend hours and weeks and months, and even as the end of John talks about, that I suppose if everything was written down that Jesus said, that the whole world couldn't hold all the books, okay? But we define him really as love. 1 John 4:8-16, God is love. That's who the Godhead is. He's relational, 5:11, and the one I like most is he's our friend. Again, Romans 5:11. See, Genesis 1:26-27 says this, and I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. 27, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. I love those two phrases. We even looked at them a little bit last week. Make man in our image according to our likeness. That's powerful. You can look in a mirror and say, I was made in God's image. I was made in his likeness. But when you put those together, what he's not saying is that we are an exact copy of God. Nor are we God. But yet, we are in his image and we're in his likeness. See, God's plan was to make humans that were like them. Not them, but like them. They wanted us to have the same ability that God has to give, to love, to know each other. And when you look at that word know, it's a very intimate word. To praise one another, to serve one another, honor one another, to enjoy each other in relationship, in community, in family, as God does with each other. And we can only do that when we're in relationship with them. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we can only do that because of the cross and the mercy and the grace of God that he provided through the cross and through his son Jesus. first for relationship with him. And remember, I said, read this last week, Timothy Keller. And you have to remember, this guy is not a raving charismatic. He is a solid Presbyterian. And yet, this is what he says. We were made for God's arms. We were made for the dance. We were made to be brought into a very, very deep, close personal relationship with him, to give him joy and to sense you are his delight. We are God's delight. To give him praise and to sense he's delighted and affirms us, and to give him love and to sense this love. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called for. That's the first thing you need to understand as a human. That's what you're made to be. In this amazing relationship with the living God. It's powerful. But second, it's for relationships with each other. See, based upon the relationship that exists within the Godhead. He didn't create, he wasn't who he was, and then created us with an expectation that we would be something totally and radically different. He understood who we were. He understood the fall was going to come, but he understood the cross was going to come so we could walk forward and be and walk in his likeness. All by the grace and the mercy of God. See, when Adam and Eve did their thing, it wasn't lost. You know, all of a sudden, the world has fallen and there's no hope for mankind. It's not true. It wasn't lost. There's always a plan A. God's mercy and grace through Jesus the Christ at the cross to bring us into fellowship so that we can have that intimacy with the Father, but also have that relationship one with another. Where there's unity, where there's community, where there's relationships, where there's fellowship, where there's family, where there's love, and all the other things that go with that. You know, things that people in the world only dream about, which we're to emulate so that they see what the true church is really all about. Let's go back to the garden to see what I mean. Genesis 2:18 out of the ESV. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper for him. I will make a helper and make him a helper fit for him." Now, I want to think about that statement for a moment. That statement has been read many, many times. I've read it many, many times. But that statement is an absolutely amazing statement. It is not good that the man should be alone. I want us to think about that statement. I want us to think about where Adam was when God made that statement, that it was not good that the man should be alone. He was in the garden prior to the fall. Do you think the food was good there? Taylor would enjoy it because it was organic. The chemical companies hadn't been invented yet. How about the power that Adam had? He says that he had dominion over God's creation. Genesis 1:26 in ESV. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have radah," or dominion, which means rule or authority, "over God's creation, the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Do you think Adam had some power? Every living thing was in subjection to his authority. So we know he had good food. We know he had power. We also know he was naked. Do you think he was uncomfortable? I don't think so. It doesn't say that. Not until after the fall, when they went and found themselves some fig leaves. How about the beauty of the garden? Now, think about You know, some of you lived in Colorado and other places. Think about the Rockies. Think about a 14er. You know, that's a mountain that's 14,000 feet tall. Think about Alaska. Think about the oceans. Think about the Smokies, or think about the Redwoods, or the Badlands of the Dakotas, or the Grand Canyon, or the mountains in China, or the Chilean mountains, or the Alps, or just many of those things. Just think about the beauty. Think about the areas in Africa. I forget what they're called, but the plains where there's the grasses and all the animals running free. That's why I don't like to go to zoos. I just have a hard time watching an animal in a cage. Just me. I'm not opposed to zoos. Anybody likes zoos, I'm not saying boycott zoos, okay? But think about all that beauty. And the Garden of Eden exceeded it beyond our description. They pale in comparison to the beauty of the Garden of Eden. I mean, think about what he lived in. Do you think he suffered for lack of pleasure? No. Do you think he had to use his Medicare card every once in a while because he was sick? Had to go to a hospital? Oh, yeah, it would have been empty, wouldn't it? Because there were no doctors, just him. So he didn't deal with sickness. He had, and think about his life with God. He had this ongoing relationship with God, not a bad prayer life. He didn't go, God, are you here? He was there. I mean, it says later on after Eve was created, out of the rib of his body, that they walked in the cool of the day together. So why not before? I mean, let me ask you this question. Would you take that life? Say yes or no. I just want to see some heads. That's people. I mean, I'd take it. I'd take it in a New York heartbeat. And that's a slightly faster heartbeat than a Midwest heartbeat. Yet it is recorded in Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Does that rock your boat a little bit? It rocks my boat. I mean, he lived in perfect, in perfection, with the living God, walking in the cool of the day. And God says, it is not good that man should be alone. Again, think about all that Adam had. Yet God didn't think it was good enough to be alone before the fall, when there was no sin, when he was perfect, when he was walking in perfection. He wasn't tempted. Well, I'll back up on it. I don't know where Satan was at that point, but he was perfect, because we know when the first sin came. Yet God says it's not good for him to be alone. I don't know about you, but to me that's a little mind-boggling. I mean, I'm sitting there in a relationship where I can talk to God face to face while eating some amazing fruit, enjoying perfect weather, you know, San Diego. It's the most perfect weather in this country from my perspective anyway. Yet it appears from what God is saying that he was missing something, that he might even be a little bit lonely because it wasn't good for him to be alone, because there were no other humans. There was no other of his kind. It appears to me, and others I read, that Adam longed for human relationship. It's not good that man be alone. I don't know about you, but this is kind of like, whoa. And I've never heard this one preached before. I'm sure it has been, but I never heard of it. But just my opinion, but others I read reached the same conclusion when I started looking around. And I think this is significant. I think this is important that we understand this, and that it's very profound when we come to talking about our relationships, about relationships between brothers and sisters. You know, these guys are going to go back to Wichita, be part of the community, but we have a relationship with them. And that's important. See, God made Adam and us. Did he make any mistakes when he made us? No. A resounding no. We are the ones who made the mistakes. It's Adam and Eve that made the initial mistake. And I know it's very easy, and I said this a long time ago before I got a little wisdom. Well, it's just not fair that Adam and Eve sinned, and now I have to pay the consequences. Because I would have never done that. Yeah, right. We were the ones that made the mistake. So apparently, and yes, I know I'm drawing a conclusion, but again, I didn't read any one of a number of articles and commentaries and different things that contradicted me, but apparently God made Adam. He made us with this deep need, this deep desire for human relationship that not even the garden could satisfy. Think about that for a few moments. He made us in a way that the garden couldn't satisfy because we needed relationship with others. And we're talking about a garden that had perfect food. We're talking about walking with God. We're talking about sinless life. We're talking about the power he had with everything in submission to him. We're talking about perfect health, beauty of his surroundings, and on and on and on. And yet, it appears, based upon what God is saying, that that wasn't good enough. See, God knew it. Because he created Adam and us with this need for human fellowship. It's not a mistake. He created us to be totally unfulfilled, that we not only must have a relationship with God, but do we have to have a relationship with each other, as we discussed last week and we're discussing this week, with for humans. See, why do you think Satan fights so hard to break relationships? Why do you think he introduced sarcasm? Why do you think he introduced being critical, gossip, negativity? And we're going to talk about these down the road and how they can really destroy relationships. But let me put it like this. According to Genesis 1:26, each one of us is created in his image. Yet we are all different, and yet we're alike. Each one of us reflects part of who God is. It really doesn't matter who we are, our personality, our culture, our color, or our background. By God's design, we need each other and are fulfilled when we are in relationship with God and, I think it's capitalized, each other. God created us for relationship, see? I really believe, folks, that the power of the church obviously is rooted in the triune God. I'm not taking anything away from that. If you don't have the triune God, you can talk about relationships all day long and it's going to fall short. But within that, relationship with him and relationship with each other, that's the true church. It's a church that the country doesn't really see. I mean, God created us for those relationships. Why would we not want to form relationship with him and each other if that's what he's called us to do? And as we do that, we will see more and more of who God is. And I'm not picking on you, Archie, but just the mercy of God. As we heard him testify, the grace of God, we saw that a little more. And the blessings of God, how he's put this precious couple together. And what he's going to do with them in the future. See, You could look at any person or any couple and start picking up on the negativity. But we need to be a people. Chris and I are reading this book called The 40-Day Word Fast. Did I get it right? And half the book, and you're going to be hearing more about this, I'm not going to preach the book, but I'm going to be talking about the stuff because it really can affect relationships. But when we get halfway through the book, we're going to go on this 40-day fast of negative words. So hopefully you see a change in me, and you see a change in Chris. But we need to be people who build up, who edify, who strengthen each other, not cut down, not tear down. Yeah, God uses friends to sharpen each other. You know, as it says in what is it, Proverbs 27:17, how iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen each other. But the purpose is so we're totally fulfilled, satisfied in God. It's not to tear down. It's not to destroy. It's so that we can walk into all that God has for us, so that we can do all God has equipped us to do. Because when we are in relationships, we're a blessing to each other. Because we encourage each other, because we build each other up, because we help each other, because we help each other to seek after God. We help each other to run with gusto after the race that is set before us. I mean, that's how God made us, to be in those relationships. No man is an island. No woman's an island. And maybe that's why he tells us not to neglect our meeting together. Hebrews 10:25 in New Living Translation. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near and is drawing nearer and nearer. Maybe the unchurched and the statistic I gave last week of 50% that feel going to church once per month or less is okay are missing something. Because it's about relationship. The reason we come together is so we can gather as a family. That as a family, we can go before the living God and see what he has to say to us. And so we can minister to one another, to encourage us to walk out the other 166 hours. Now we do have Bible studies on Thursday nights, which I encourage you to come to. And there's prayer on different times. In prayer next Sunday night. But think about it. We were created in their image. Genesis 1:26 again. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. This is the triune God. And remember that word God is a noun, masculine, plural, absolute. A masculine, plural, absolute noun. Now, this is important for us to understand because the triune God was so intimate in their relationship that they are three, they appear to be one. And since we were made in their image, Lord, help me to say this properly. Since we were made in their image, it makes sense to me that though we are more than one, that as we gather together and as we build our relationship, we will appear as one. That doesn't mean you give up your personality. That doesn't mean you give up who you are, because we need your personality. We need who you are. Just like I said at the beginning, we need to hear when God touches you. We need to hear testimonies because they encourage us. They encourage us. But though we're different, we are one in Christ. We're brothers and sisters. See, God delights in relationship. He so desires us to have relationship with him. But not just him, with each other. Why? Because that's how we will be totally fulfilled. Are you more fulfilled, Archie, since you married this woman? You better say yes. You better say yes, okay? Because she's looking at you. But you are, okay? And we're not talking about those kinds of relationships, but there's relationships within relationships. But we are talking about something that is powerful. See, we are called to be Christian hedonists. You know what a hedonist is? It's somebody that pursues pleasure. We're called to be Christian hedonists, to pursue godly pleasure through relationship with God and each other. That's who we are. We're not to be Christians walking around all the time. It's like, yeah, I got a little bit to go. I'm 22 years old, and I've got another 57 years with the Lord, but I'll make it. No. It's a joy. It's pleasure. It's being a Christian hedonist. That's why nothing else should be in the way of pursuing relationships. Absolutely nothing. Even if they don't appear wrong, as Christian talked about a couple months ago or whenever, some time ago. It's so contrary to what the world tells us. The world tells us that we're really supposed to put relationships on the shelf to pursue this or to pursue that. To pursue stuff that satisfies. To pursue all these things so that we'll be real satisfied. You know, it's like the Rolling Stones song says, can't get no satisfaction. And you know, do you realize in that song it says you can't get no satisfaction in stuff? And it literally says TVs, cars, girls, white shirts. Did you ever see the Rolling Stones in white shirts? And cigarettes. Because all those things are fleeting. The only thing that's eternal is our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. You know, ask Frank and Terry here. They were at Antioch for 29 years before they went church hopping. Were they fulfilled over there? Are they still fulfilled by those relationships? Do they still have solid relationships? I know the answer to that question is yes. Chris and I were in Columbia for 23 years. And we may not see those people for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. But we'll go to a funeral where somebody went home to be with Jesus, or we'll go to a birthday party or a book signing or whatever it is we go to, and we run into people we haven't seen for 10 or 12 years, and you just pick up like you hadn't seen them since earlier that day. And you just start talking, how's the kids, how's this, how's God, oh, God, this is doing great things in my life. And you're just fulfilled in those relationships. And here's an important fact. I'm going to let my friend Timothy Keller, who's the Presbyterian, say it because he says it so very well. You can't grow into the image of someone, talking about God, who is not just a me, but an us as an individual. You can't know him. You can't become who you're supposed to be. You can't possibly without community. That's what he says, and I believe it. See, this is where the world gets the church so very, very, very wrong. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about have-tos. It's not about do this. It's not about do that. It's not about earn this way. Or if I do this, if I'm just good, then I'll earn a few extra points with Jesus. No. It's about being a God-ordained, loving relationship, community, family, where you honor each other, where you encourage each other, where you build up each other, where you take care of each other. That's what I like about Acts 2, 42 to 47. When it talks about somebody had a need, the church was there. And that's how the church should be, because there was relationships. They went house to house. And out of that flows a desire, not because you have to, but a desire not to sin, a desire to follow God's commandments, a desire to walk through sanctification, to become more and more who we really are in Christ, as well as helping to build the kingdom of God in the church, because it's flowing out of our heart, that new heart out of Ezekiel 36. How? Hebrews 3:13 out of the Christian Standard Bible. But encourage, and the parakaleo is the word there, which means exhort, warn, comfort, help, same word that's used for the Holy Spirit. Each other day, every day. So, but encourage each other daily, daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. We are to encourage each other daily, daily, while it's still today, not tomorrow, not the next day. Why? So that we can help each other to be sharper in God, to, as it says there, to not, so you're not hardened by sin's deception, which we know is a big tool of the devil, deception. That's why we need to help each other. That's why we need to be part of a body, of a community. That's why we need to be part of other people's lives. Why we need to be hanging out with each other, as it says in Acts 2:45, going from house to house. To follow God as he establishes those relationships. But never for the purpose, God put me into Terry's life so you can use me to fix him. No. That's not the purpose. We need people in our lives so that they know us, yes. So they can help us to mature in God, yes. So we can walk out our sanctification, yes. Which implies that there's some level of intimacy there. There's also implies that there's permission for us to speak into their lives, to use a modern word today, to mentor each other, to use a word that isn't so well liked today, but it's a biblical word, to disciple each other. Because we live in the nations, as it talks about Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and remember with scripture, there's interpretations, but there's also applications. I'm using an application. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, we are part of the nations, this community right here, and we're called to encourage each other, to build each other up, to strengthen each other. Because God wants us to walk in, as a Christian hedonist, to walk in the pure joy. And we can do that. Not as we go, again, Terry, here's your flaws, but as we go, Terry, here are my flaws. I want you to walk with me and to help me to walk out of it. So that we're fulfilled as God intended. The worship team wants to come back up. So that the world sees what his church, the true church, is really about. I mean, think about what the world thinks of the church. No morals, hate. Just not true. Yes, we stand against sin, but we need to be showing them that we love. That's the relationships God intended for us to have in the beginning. That's the relationships God sent Jesus to the cross for so we can have it today. And that's the relationships that I believe with all my heart that God is building this fellowship on. Us loving God, but loving each other and walking with each other, not in judgment, but in taking care of each other. And I believe with all my heart that God is going to, is building relationships with between different people. And that he is going to use those people for you to share the things you need to share so they can not sit there in judgment, but so they can walk forward and pray for you. God wants us to be a church of relationships. That's who we are. So that when people walk in here, and God is doing that. So it's really sad, but one of the things that I've heard a number of times when people didn't stick around is you guys are too close. You know, they're looking for a place where they can just go hide out. We're not called to be that church. We're called to be a church when a guest walks in, 3, 4, 5 different people, meet them and talk about them and show their love for them and their concern. God is going to grow us, but he's going to grow us at his pace. He's going to grow us in the way he wants to grow us. But I know for a fact it's going to be based upon relationships. You know, and it's funny how God does that. You know, it's through Tammy that I met Linda, and through Linda I met her late husband, and it was just amazing how God just, shake your head no if I'm wrong, but it's just amazing how God just brought relationships together, just as we cared for each other and treated each other with love and respect. That's who we are. You know, there's all kinds of ditches you can fall into, but on the sides of the road as you're pursuing God. But if you're pursuing Him and relationship with Him and godly relationships with each other, you're not going to fall into a ditch. I promise you. Amen.